Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, a very, very warm welcome to all of you this morning. I really mean that. Considering this past week's election, I know for a fact that some of you are elated, and some of you are devastated, and some are in between, and some of you are just thrilled that UVA's football team won last night. And you're looking forward to the Commanders game this afternoon, and you're probably the happiest of the lot, I'd say. But however you are doing, my hope is that you will find a real sense of peace and comfort at Christ Church this morning. Jesus knew all about how tumultuous one week could be. Our gospel passage takes place during Holy Week. This was just days after Jesus had entered Jerusalem like a celebrated hero. And by Friday, he'll be hanging on a cross. But at this point, Jesus knows that he has nothing to lose. He's going toe-to-toe with the religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and he pulls no punches. "Watch out for the scribes," Jesus says. "They like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect and to have the best seats in the synagogue." Now, I don't know about you, but considering what I'm wearing and where I'm sitting, that's enough to make me feel a little hot under the collar. But scribes, you see, would stand by the temple's collection chests and watch as everyone would publicly make their offering. It was not unlike buying a small drip coffee and being watched over the counter as you're asked to tip either 15, 20, or 45%. And people always give more if they're being watched. It says, many rich people put in large sums. And the scribes would approach the biggest donors and offer to be their personal pastors, live in their home, lead services in exchange for access to the donors' finances. It's a really interesting model that we're looking into for pledge season. But it seemed like a fair trade. The big givers thought that they had earned their righteousness, and the scribes were living large. So everybody wins, right? Of course not. For someone to win, someone else has to lose. And in those times, husbands would often appoint a scribe, who was a Jewish legal expert, to be an executor of his widow's estate when he died. And oftentimes what would happen is the scribes would exploit these women out of house and home, which is why Jesus says the scribes devour widows' houses. Don't trust those guys any more than you can throw them, Jesus says. Their long prayers are just a dog and pony show. They're a walking advertisement, and you're the product. You know how commercials will often disguise themselves as a sweet story to get past your defenses. You're sitting on the couch and you're crying your eyes out for some family whose dog is sick. And then you hear a jingle for pet insurance. David Foster Wallace once said, "An ad that pretends to be art is like somebody who smiles warmly at you only because he wants something from you." Now, we're all susceptible to this because we want something too. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to do good, but we also want to look good doing it. And if conventional wisdom says you get what you give, we will give in order to get. Well, after his rant against the scribes, Jesus and his disciples sit down. They do a little people watching at the treasury where there's a crowd of people putting money in. And this woman approaches. Jesus says, Hey, look at her. You see that woman? While bigwig benefactors are dropping in loads of bronze and silver coins and being applauded by the scribes, a poor widow comes along and drops in two small copper coins, which were worth a penny, and walks away. Now, I don't need to convince you about the worthlessness of pennies. Did you know it costs 3 cents to make one penny? A recent study estimated that there are 240 billion discarded pennies around our country because they're such an inconvenient currency. Yesterday, I saw a penny on the sidewalk, and I chose not to pick it up. There's no power in a penny. Likewise, if you were looking for power in those days, a poor widow would be the last place to look. A woman with no resources or security? Chances are nobody even noticed her come and go, but Jesus says, "See her? That's my biggest donor. That's my star player." The world that you and I know runs on power and wealth. It's a top-down approach to life. If we just get the right people in power, we'll be okay. Or the more you have, the better off you are. That is not God's economy. There's a cartoon where a man asks Jesus who his favorite singer is, expecting a celebrity like Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber. And Jesus says, "Oh, one of my favorite singers is a woman from a small village in northern Thailand. She sings her heart out all day long while farming." The man replies, "Oh, so no one anyone's heard of." To which Jesus says, "Well, she won't be touring the arena circuit anytime soon, Carl, but she's famous where I come from." I thought it was funny. God's power, you see, is not cold from the top, but from the bottom. God's power comes from weakness. God's power is inefficient and seemingly ineffective. And most of us think that giving is a way of getting power, but generosity is only satisfying as an expression of losing control rather than a means to obtain more. And because of that, this widow knows something that most of us don't, that none of us have anything that was not given to us from above. She did not give her 2 copper coins as a means to an end, like she's on some reality show where after she gives the coins, some well-dressed couple comes out and hands her a check for $10 million. We don't know what happens to her. She goes home. But the reason why Jesus celebrates her is because she knows who is in control. And we may grip our wallets and pinch our pennies because we don't think our safety net is big enough. But this woman knows that she is only safe in the hands of God. "I've got nothing," she says. "I've got nothing, so you might as well take that. Everything I have is yours. Everything I am is yours. So you may as well take everything." Where are you yearning for more power? In your marriage, with your children, with your parents, in your love life, at the office? You want real power? Give it all away. In 1859, there was a famous French tightrope walker named Charles Blondin, and he announced that he was going to walk across a wire over Niagara Falls. 10,000 people showed up. And the stunt brought in so much money that he and his manager, Harry Colcord, set up a residency there with stunts every week. One time he's carrying a sack on his head and walked across. One time he bicycled across the wire and came back. One week he put a stove in a wheelbarrow, walked out on the wire, cooked an omelet, and ate it. The French, they're so cocky with cuisine. And for his grand finale, he announced that he would carry a man on his shoulders. So he and Harry, the manager, offered $1,000 to recruit someone. When a line of men showed up, he took them to the brink of Niagara Falls and walked out on the wire and then came back. And he asks, "Do you believe without a doubt that I could carry you across?" All of them said, "Absolutely, without a doubt." And then he asked, "Will you let me carry you across?" And every one of them said, "Absolutely not." No one steps forward. And so Blondin eventually turns to his manager, Harry, and says, "It's got to be you. I'm sorry." And Harry is terrified, but consents. And when they're out on the wire, every time Blondin would sway, Harry would try to counterbalance, and they were going to fall. When Blondin yells over the roar of the falls, "Harry, till I clear this place, you must become part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, you must rest in me completely and sway completely with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself. If you do, we shall both go down to our death." Those who try to save their lives will lose them. Those who lose their lives will save them. To live, Harry had to surrender his power completely to the one who carried him on his shoulders. It brings to mind Isaiah's prophecy, "For a child is born to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." He carries not just the government on his shoulders, but you as well, and makes it safely to the other side. We see that the widow, inspiring as she was, is but a reflection of Jesus, who gave us everything he had, all he had to live on, his very self. And like the widow, he was devoured. And the reason why there is nothing to fear today and in the days ahead and forevermore is that Jesus took the fall on our behalf, plunging into the depths of sin and death so that we might live. Whatever you have been given in this life, put it all down on Jesus. He's the only surefire bet for you to have real security, real comfort, real peace, and life to the full. You won't actually experience those things unless you put it all down on him. And if that's too much to ask, which it is, know that Jesus, who had all the power of heaven and earth, put it all down for you. Amen.